So again, my name is Dr. Melissa James. I work for the Unitarian Universalist Association Pacific Western Region. My full title is Congregational Life Field Staff for the Pacific Western Region, which is a big fancy title, maybe not fancy, but long, to explain that my whole job is to help communities like yours thrive and flourish. And so it is my joy to be with you here today. I want to start with a story. See, once upon a time, I was a community organizer. Along the way, a fire had ignited in me to make a difference in the world, and particularly to do so rooted in something deeper and bigger than myself. Some call that faith, some values, some by another word, altogether. For me, that path took me to a Lutheran seminary in Chicago, where I spent much of my time trying to discern how people of faith could best address the myriad injustices I had experienced, learned about, and witnessed as I was welcomed into communities around the country and the world. Somewhere in that discernment, this white working class introverted 20-something was sponsored to attend at that time, no longer a 20-something, at that time. I was sponsored to attend a community organizing training. And I thought I had found the ticket. I would become a faith-based organizer. I landed my first gig as an organizer on a housing campaign on the north side of Chicago. It was just a temporary position filling in for an organizer who was on parental leave, but I knew that was my chance to dive into the organizing scene in Chicago. I believed in the work, I believed in the issue. I trusted the organization, and my passion to engage people of faith and justice was nothing if not enthusiastic and sincere. And let me tell you, as an organizer, I was okay. One of my most vivid experiences, memories of my experiences of that phase of discernment happened sitting down in the rundown office of the organization as my time was about to conclude, and the director asking me some pointed questions that only good organizers can ask. She got me talking about my experience, what I enjoyed, what was challenging, where I saw my strengths and my growth areas, and how I tied it all to my journey. At one point, she stopped me and said something to the effect of, "So it sounds like you're a teacher, not an organizer." At first, this cut me to my core. No way. This was my path. I believed in organizing. I still do. I believe and still believe in the power to change our world together by bringing people together. I'd put many of my post-seminary eggs in the basket of becoming a faith-based organizer. But that moment passed, and her naming that truth that she saw reflected in my own story was one of the most liberating moments of my life. For me, it wasn't a cliche shutting of one door of organizing or a pronouncement of a specific path forward as though I needed to drop everything and find a formal teaching job. It was a naming of the gifts I brought to our collective effort to seek justice for our community. You see, that truth didn't cut me off from the love that led me to care for the community or the desire to seek justice together. It freed me to think about how I was being called to carry that love forward. And it gave me the grace to understand that however I would stumble in my journey carrying that love, and I would continue to be held in an expansive, radical love connected deeply to community. I wonder if you've ever had a moment like that in your life. I wonder what truth was reflected back to you. I wonder how it shaped you. In Let Your Life Speak, Parker Palmer invites us to look at the story of our lives as we discern who we are and what we're called to be. And I use called in a very general sense. From the tradition of Christianity out of which I come, there is a sense of call as God coming into your life and calling you to something in order to serve and expand love. But as we'll see as we go on, call doesn't have to come from a deity. And for most of us, that's not how we understand it. That call is that deep down inside of us sense that, as many ministers in formation are told, a sense of we can do nothing else. For some of us, call is a sense of I keep coming back to this thing. For some of us, a call is a sense of duty and a responsibility. There are lots of ways for us to experience what call is. But Parker Palmer's explanation of listening to our lives has always spoken to me. As we listen to our own story, we can begin to see that which is ours to claim. Themes that come up over and over, the gifts that are uniquely ours to share. The ways we're able to show up and truly emerge out of that deep sense of joy and love. Sometimes we're fortunate enough to have our story reflected back to us, such as what I experienced in Chicago. Sometimes they are ours to discover. When you listen to the story of your life, what do you hear? When we listen to the story of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Palo Alto, what do we hear in our collective story? To what is this community called from within and without? As storied people, we hear the stories of past and write our own stories collectively and individually. We can do that collective storytelling because we are held in and accountable to one another through covenant. Reverend Carol Thompson Sissel, who chaired for a while the Commission on Appraisal, wrote, "We are the promises we make and the vows we break." In this faith, Unitarian Universalism, covenants bind us together and strengthen our relationships. They create a pathway toward inclusiveness, and in times of both joy and sorrow, remind us that we are tough, resilient, and thoughtful. We become better people and often much more intelligent when we make intentional choice to create connections and stand in a collaborative community with one another, she writes. One of the gifts of being a part of this congregation, this region, and indeed the entire of the Unitarian Universalist Association is that our covenant calls us into a truth that our story is not one of isolation and individualism. That our I is always indivisibly connected with our we. And so we are able to listen to the stories of our lives collectively as well as individually to help us see what we are called to be and do together. The story we're creating is one that is and can be rooted in radical love, a radical love like the one renowned theologian Patrick S. Chang, queer theologian, explains, a love so extreme that it dissolves our existing boundaries. And in this time, communities of faith and our entire movement is poised for the sacred task of imagining and working together for what a future rooted in radical love could look like. We can ask ourselves, who are we and what do we want and need to become? And in community, this also asks, who can partner with us in this discovery and help us find and live out those answers? You see, in Unitarian Universalism, in our tradition, there are a number of ways we answer this question. One important way we answer the question of who can partner with us is through hiring and calling ministers. UUCPA is fortunate enough to have two ministers doing this important work. Your called and settled minister, Reverend Amy Morgenstern, and your contract assistant minister of religious education, children, and youth ministry, parish ministry, I thought my title was long, Reverend Kat Boyle, as well as a number of affiliated community ministers as well. Soon, you as a community will begin a process to dream about, to think about, to discern, and to consider extending a call to Reverend Kat, turning her ministry from a contract ministry into a called ministry. Ministers have lots of different relationships and lots of different traditions, so let's talk a moment about what that looks like in Unitarian Universalism. Ministry is a relationship between the leader, in this case the ministers, and the people. It's a relationship. This relationship at its best is rooted in radical love and includes a commitment both to the mission of the church and to being in loving, covenant-based accountability with one another. And there are two ways congregations have to formalize this. In the case of Reverend Amy, the entire congregation came together to have a vote to call her into partnership as a settled minister. She's accountable to you all as the congregation through the structures you've built, through the board, through other things. But you all said yes. We want to be in relationship with you. We want to hold your ministry and you in sacred partnership. We want you to hold us accountable through the ups and through the downs. Move towards mission. Reverend Amy's settled ministry is an agreement between the entire congregation for her ongoing ministry through thick and thin. Reverend Kat's contract ministry also involves a relationship between the congregation and her, but it is a hired position. So that covenant and commitment is slightly different. Yes, she does all the things that your quiz said that you know what a minister does. She was hired on behalf of you all, the congregation, by the people you have elected to be on your board, to speak for and hold responsibility for this place. She's accountable to the board, and her contract is reviewed and renewed on a regular basis. Moving from that contract to a called ministry, which is what we call a contract to call, very cleverly named ministry, is an intentional commitment between the minister and the congregation, a commitment to be together for the foreseeable future, to work toward mission, to build a beloved community. And what's really special about this place and this time is the commitment that a move from a contract to a called settled ministry with Reverend Kat is not simply about you and Kat and the relationship you all have before it. Commitment is an affirmation of this congregation, this community's commitment to religious education, to families, and to faith formation. But let us not kid ourselves that this sacred work is easy. Living in covenant can be difficult. Being in covenant with one another is not permission for anything goes, either in belief or in action. To call each other back into right relationship as we seek beloved community together. The late John Lewis talked about living into beloved community in very eschatological terms, by describing our task as living as though what we imagine has already come into being. Living as though what we have imagined has already come into being. Putting love into action, he claimed and lived, was having faith that it was already true, and then acting so that it would become real. It takes imagination and hope to imagine a world in which the radical love for self and others is fully realized, that systems are recreated so that beloved community can be actualized. And we are not alone. We have each other to call one another to something greater, each other to turn to when we need a rest and others will carry things forward. And you have your ministers to partner with you as you all seek to fulfill UCPA's mission and build beloved community within this place and within our world that desperately needs it. So blessings to you in your continued ministry, and blessings to you as you discern what that commitment will look like to one another. Amen. May it be so.